Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. Thank you for joining me for another empowering and enlightening conversation. And that's what The Love Code is all about. It really is a time to open our minds, to open our hearts, to step into the reality of the infinite possibilities that we have to transform our life, to heal our life, to know that we can create the reality that we truly desire. So thanks again for joining me, because during these times, we all need to be inspired and uplifted and connected to the greater possibilities and truth of who we are. And if you are listening for the first time, please join me over on my Facebook page, What Women Must Know. And if you like me over there, all of my shows are archived and then posted on my Facebook page. And that is also the same if you go over to my website, which is drcherylselman.com. And if you opt in there, then I will send you the archive shows, because I have a second show on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday at 4 p.m. called What Women Must Know. And that's a show dedicated to really health, to optimize our health physically, emotionally, mentally, even spiritually. So if you would like to learn more and have access to amazing, inspirational conversations, please join me. Opt in to drcherylselman.com or just go over to What Women Must Know and like that Facebook page, and you will get all of these great conversations. And we have a fantastic conversation in store for you today. I'm so thrilled that we are going to be talking to Kimberly Carter Gamble, who is one of the producers and directed and co-writers for a brand new, just released documentary called Thrive 2. And we're going to be exploring about preparing for an evolutionary leap for humanity with Kimberly. And I just want to share a little bit about Kimberly. So Kimberly Carter Gamble has produced, directed, and co-wrote Thrive, the first documentary that came out about 10 years ago, which is called Thrive 1, What on Earth Will It Take? And now the new version, I guess the updated documentary, Thrive 2, which is subtitled This Is What It Takes, has just been released. Kimberly is the founder and CEO of Clear Compass Media, Thrive Movement International, and Thrive On. All of her work is designed to help up-level people's sense of what is possible so that they stop settling for less. Toward that end, she focuses on breakthrough innovations and technologies that empower people and heal themselves and the planet in unprecedented ways. She is a mother and grandmother and is grateful for the opportunity to have such a love-filled and on-purpose life. And it's just so wonderful, and I'm thrilled to welcome Kimberly Carter Gamble to the show today. So hello and welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you so much, and for that lovely introduction. It's a pleasure to be in this gathering with you.
Well, you know, you are an inspiration, Kimberly. You are incredible. Your dedication to bringing into this world profound knowledge to uplift us, to support the healing of every aspect of life, from our own physical selves to the healing through nature to the healing of the misperception of separation that has ruled this planet for so long. And I just want to say that I have reviewed Thrive 1 before this conversation, and I guess I watched it many years ago, and it was so profound seeing it recently, because I have grown so much, and it made so much more sense. It was so awe-inspiring. And then having the chance to watch Thrive 2 and see this evolutionary process of your work, and I have to say, and I really do want to congratulate you, because you have helped to put together the most extraordinary documentary, the visuals on it, the profound people, this weaving of information that takes us on this journey to really understand why we are at this this amazing moment in the evolution of our consciousness on this planet and the evolution of the consciousness of the planet. So I just had to say that because I'm so grateful to you and the immense work that you have put into this. This dedication is profound. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. I just, you know, it's, we were saying that Thrive 2 is starring the unified field because really what our journey has revealed to us is just such a remarkable story that shows us a picture of possibilities in a way that illustrating it was just a pleasure. I felt grateful the whole time to be able to be spending my time coming up with ways to articulate and visualize what I was seeing, and it pretty much emerged, for those who haven't seen Thrive 1, my intention in producing that movie and co-creating it with my husband, Foster Gamble, was to have a pretty bold diagnosis of what's in the way of our thriving. And it was, you know, I was operating with the premise that if something's wrong, I'd rather know what it is so that I can focus my efforts to solve whatever it is, you know, most intelligently, and not just be kind of, you know, waving around, not knowing where to focus. And so it focused on what are the obstacles and laid out a vision of a thriving world. But in the intervening years, what happened was we heard from people. Thrive One became one of the most widely viewed documentaries in all times. It has over 90 million documented views and is in 27 different languages. And that made for the opportunity for us to be exposed to people from all over the world. So that's really what led me to where I am now and to Thrive 2, because it was hearing from these fabulous people, inventors and innovators and breakthrough thinkers, just all these solutionaries from 100 different countries. We heard from people saying, hey, you ought to hear about this that we have, whether it was a new energy technology or a new health technology or a philosophical insight. And so we spent probably 8 of the last 9 years traveling around with doctors and engineers and scientists and shamans and psychics and all kinds of people to explore what these folks were talking about and vet them and see who really had the best. And so Thrive 2 is the cohering of those, the greatest solutions and insights that we found. So it's a very, it kind of delivers on the promise. Thrive 1 said, look, if we can, you know, understand the problem, then we can really come together to solve it. And Thrive 2 is really designed to have to provide the tools and the insights for solving the, you know, the mess we're in and for seizing the opportunity that we all have here. So it's been a great journey, and I appreciate the opportunity to be sharing it with you and the people in your network, because I love the work that you're doing, and I think we share a common value in having people have access to a wide range of insights and information, because what's possible from that is immense.
Absolutely. You know, I want to ask you, Kimberly, you have embarked upon, from my perspective, this immense project, this huge project. I mean, not just gathering these incredible technologies and wisdom from around the planet, but then putting it together in a documentary with, you know, incredible visuals. And, you know, it's overwhelming. But I want to ask you, how did this all begin for you? Because you have taken on this huge mission. And I'm just really curious, where did this seed come from? How did it get planted in you to take this on?
That's a good question. Let's see. Well, I grew up in a film family and was around I would say dreams coming true in a very with unusual exposure. I got to be around someone having a vision and then seeing how much just sort of mess and hard work and resilience it took to actually manifest that vision into something that, you know, was complete and that other people could experience. And I've often thought that that exposure was really key to my willingness to take on big things, because I think I have realistic expectations about what it means. You know, some days everything goes wrong, seemingly, and other days it all comes together, and it's a process, and it's teamwork, and it requires such a, I guess a, it's probably the sense of possibility that I love, and in this movie, taking this on, it's a really good question, because I would say for a long time, the notion of making Thrive 2 was probably the only taboo subject around our house. Like, we obviously explore all kinds of things, but that was just like talking to someone who just had quintuplets or something about having another baby. It's just like not a chance. But, and especially one that involves science, because the way it really happened was when we heard from people, and this will relate to how, why I took it on, is almost, well, all of the people who were really describing something that sounded viable were talking about energy, the energetic nature of the universe and of us as part of that, and specifically about frequencies and vibrations and resonance and what it means to come into resonance. And I realized that learning, as I did in the course of exploring them, about the scientific worldview that was in common to all of them, which is essentially that there's this vast, infinite web of energy that's very organized, and it's possible to learn how to interact with it, and in so doing, achieve everything from, you know, expanded consciousness to restored health and new energy technologies and all the rest. So getting a feel for the vast possibilities that exist with this new understanding helped me embark on something that I knew was going to be a challenge and, you know, have all the ups and downs that a gigantic undertaking that spans, you know, many years and lots of money and all the rest does. So I think it was the perfect message to be working on while taking it on. So I think I got a sense of it growing up, and then I love the adventure of not knowing what each day is going to bring. And as producer, director, and co-writer, I got to move between everything from the funding of it to the hiring to the overall vision to the writing to the directing to the, you know, so I could kind of switch it up from one day to the next, which really helped also. So that, and my husband, who's into it, we have a very co-creative, fun relationship, and it's, we've joked, you know, I'm 68, he's 73, and sometimes when we go out to dinner, we'll notice older couples sort of sitting at the table with nothing left to say, and we're just like, blah, 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 and then this, and then that, you know, we have so much to say from our adventure. So it's very self reinforcing to be involved in something so exciting. And also, it is a big deal. And I think for me, that's okay to take on a really giant long-term project. And at the same time, I'm really looking forward to having a slightly more balanced life on this side of it, because it took about 1,000 days. And except for seeing my kids and grandkids and staying healthy and keeping my relationship alive, I haven't been a great friend to my friends, and I'm looking forward to seeing them more now. So it has its cost, but it was completely worth it.
Well, it takes great dedication to have a mission in life, mm-hmm. and to stay true to that mission.
no matter what, right? And I think that's part of the gift of having a mission, because you learn and grow through the mission. Right? It's like you have to embody what you are doing in the world, what you're bringing forth in the world, right? You have to become that field of infinite possibilities that you draw upon to make things happen.
Yeah, and that bigger purpose is definitely who should take the credit here, because my personal spiritual identity is that I am a vehicle in sort of a co-creative relationship with a higher force that has, and that my purpose comes from that. And to be clear about my purpose and to be able to live it is something that I'm empowered by, and I have energy for, and I feel like it's where my breath comes from. So if I had to rely on personally mustering, you know, the energy all the time rather than being sort of breathed, I feel like I'm breathed by a bigger breath sometimes, and that really helps me keep going, and it helps me certainly with the resilience that's needed when I am just tired or, geez, it seems like a lot to do.
And you know, your mission is to really bring into our awareness through the documentary and through the conversations you have that we truly are at on the brink of a whole transformative, evolutionary movement in life. That there is something very profound and special and awesome that is happening at this moment in time. And unless we can pull way back and have a vantage point, we often miss what's really going on, because we're caught up in the, you know, the day-to-day dramas and the matrix, where we are, you know, limited to what we have access to, the true knowledge that is available. So you have taken us through this work, through Thrive 1 and Thrive 2, through the people you have met around the globe, the innovators, the scientists, the spiritual teachers, to give us this huge perspective of what really is going on and therefore what really is possible. So having said all that, what is the message we need to hear, Kimberly, of what's happening at this moment on this journey, this evolutionary unfoldment of consciousness on this planet?
Well, I think the punchline of what we need to understand is that there are infinite possibilities, and that we are as powerful as we allow ourselves to be. And then before that punchline comes that there's a lot of work to do. I think that we're in a very serious, challenging moment in our human evolution. And my personal view is that freedom, the freedom to really become our highest selves with the highest manifestation of who we can be, is threatened because we've been focused on convincing each other that I should win over you or you should win over me. We certainly experience it around the world right now, and, you know, watching in the U.S. how it's unfolding. And for me, what our challenge is to actually get to the next level of how we relate to ourselves and each other, and move past trying to coerce each other into our beliefs and behaviors, and instead figure out how are we actually going to coexist here on the planet across this vast divide of understandings about who we are and what's really going on. So I think about it like I'm personally fascinated by what's happening with medicine, because you can see like the whole move toward human health and what people call human augmentation, right? Which could be everything from stem cells or maybe even getting some metal in your arm if you break it, right? That's better, they say, than having your natural bone heal. And so that's a form of technology used to augment our biology. And it can go, you know, from there all the way to Elon Musk's Neuralink, right? Where we plug our brains into a computer or have a chip to have us have this AI interface. Like, there's a full range of strongly held beliefs and lots of money invested all along the continuum of that spectrum. And so I don't believe that it's a good use of our time. In fact, I think it's a dangerous waste of our time to think that we're going to convince each other that it should be one way or the other. I think what's important is for us to focus on our autonomy as individuals within a collective of humanity to be, have the freedom of choice. And for me, that begins with, you know, our bodies, that we, who are we? We get to have say over what happens with our bodies and with our thoughts and with our minds. So access to all kinds of information and people who disagree and listening to that and deciding for ourselves what we think is very important. I think it's essential at this time for us to find our place, whatever it may be, and then find a way to be free to experience our reality without violating anyone else against their will, and to expect that that's a reasonable reality to have us all abide by. So I see us in a great moment of challenge and a great moment of opportunity. And I'll just add one thing, which is science is the thing that actually determines our worldview most of all. And so if you think about the fear that's, you know, rampant on the planet right now, with people feeling very limited about their sense of options, those, that sense of options is directly related to who we think we are and how does reality work. And so if it turns out that the emerging scientific worldview shows us that we're energy in an alive universe with infinite possibilities and vast new fabulous clean technologies that can do everything from prevent illness to cure advanced illness, that all of that becomes possible through resonance with this, then hey, that is a great new understanding to give us a boost at these times. And that's what kept me going and working so hard to put together this film, actually, was that I felt that these visuals and this understanding can do so much to help increase our sense of what's possible and empower us each with an expanded sense of ourselves, which is both of which are required now to take on the challenge of these times.
I have so many questions I want to ask you. I'm going to, based on what you were just sharing, so let me just start by asking this question. You went around the world, you and your husband went around the world, you met with these people, you experienced so many incredible things. What a blessing to be able to have such an expanded awareness through everything and everyone you were encountering. What would you say was one of the most inspiring people or one of the most inspiring new technologies that you learned on this journey?
Let's see. I could think of many because we went to so many, but I'll say one that was really interesting because I think because it's so empowering on an individual level. And it, so all of the ones that we visited, but the pattern was that they were operating from the premise that there's this organized, sort of geometrically formed web of energy, and that if you could come up with the right frequencies and geometry and technology to access it, you could be like a straw, kind of sucking the energy down, including all of the infinite possibilities that it holds. So there's one technology that we found. Well, it's there are several now that, you know, I can tell you one on the market where you can access this. But the idea was that because we're energy, each cell in our body, each tissue, each organ sort of has its own signature song. And that they're having our different organs all speak to each other in a resonant harmonic song is really what health is all about. So they developed this technology where by listening to your voice, because your voice is the result of having traveled through your vagus nerve, which many of your organs are interacting with, that your voice can actually reveal the signature, the cellular signature of different organs along that path, and that they could identify where something might be off, and then using a headset could actually feed back frequencies that would help provide what might be missing to that organ. So what this allowed is, think of the implications for self-help, early diagnosis, simple sort of from, one of my friends said it, he said it's like from harm to harmony, where you actually bring harmony back into your body and experience it as health. So I'm big on empowering individuals and decentralized communities. So the notion that there's a technology, there's one out now called Healy that you can see. That's not one that we interviewed, but I learned about the technology on my travels. And so these folks who focused on unpacking that form of resonance and what it means to actually think of our bodies as this harmonic orchestra and getting in tune internally and then externally with our environment, being the nature of health, which means our thoughts and meditation and prayer and what we eat and what we say, and suddenly the whole thing becomes not just coherent, but within our power to affect. So, you know, you have a headset and a few dollars for an app, and you can have that kind of influence over your, not just your health, but your self-awareness. I found that to be marvelous. It's one of the things that we describe how that actually works and illustrated in the movie. So I would say that's one. I don't know if that made sense. It's just so
it helped. You know, Kimberly, it makes perfect sense. And, you know, and I love the quote from Einstein that says the future of medicine is energy. So that's where we're moving. We understand that we're an energetic being, that we live in an energetic world, and that we are based on these frequencies. And I'm pleased to hear you mention the Healy, because I've been interested in frequency healing and frequency technologies for a long time. And I was introduced to the Healy in May, which I have been using and also sharing with other people, and seeing incredible transformations happen, not just physically, but consciously, you know, spiritually. Yeah. People awakening from depression and anxiety into joy just by creating more resonant harmony within their energy field, by working with frequencies. So it's the future. It is the future.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's happening now. I mean, the future is now, where we have access to this now, this incredible advanced technology. And I just want to say, I just want to mention this one more point on this the frequency technology and the Healy technology. What I really came to understand as I investigated this technology, which is promoted to help with healing and to bring about harmony on a cellular level and bring the cells back into harmony. But what I realized when we do that, when we're out of pain and suffering, we raise our frequency, so to speak, we actually are supporting the process of this expansion of consciousness, because once you're out of pain, you shift in your frequency and you are more expansive, right? You can just be open to so much more possibilities. And it just was like a blinding flash when that happened. Like these technologies are coming in to help us expand our consciousness at this time. I don't
absolutely
know what your thoughts are, but that's...
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think the field, that's what I call this web of energy, it's programmable. We're in relationship with it. So expanding our consciousness and our harmony and our resonance has a far greater impact, in my opinion, than just a better day. I mean, it feels good.
Yes.
It also does good out there. And that's why our ability to picture things like the technology of intention, like that matters in these things. And I think it's time. I mean, the other thing is that this, you know, the corporate pharmaceutical stranglehold that has existed, that has kept many of these valuable so-called alternative modalities at bay. Part of what coming in with energy and frequency-based medicine is that you bypass the need to take a thing in the form of a pharmaceutical drug, because it's sort of a later stage version of frequencies. They've been sort of encapsulated, and you take it, and then your body has to break it down. But ultimately, that's all there ever is an energy exchange within our bodies and between us and with us and the universe we're a part of. So I think it's really a profound way to empower ourselves and each other, is to gain a better understanding of the energetic nature, and that we can help the world by helping ourselves.
Yeah, because we're all connected, and this is not just a trite saying, you know, it's a profound revelation. And
yeah.
I love what you said, you know, as we shift our frequency, we're connecting to that field that's going out there and having huge impact everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and these thoughts are so necessary. We have to think expansively, you know, and I think when we get caught in this matrix world and listen to the news every day and the arguments and the bashing, and we contract so much. It's like we become this, you know, energetically, this, like, you know, so teeny tiny, when we really are part of this expansive reality. And as we breathe and as we shut down, and I want to talk about stillness, because you talk a lot about that and the importance of stillness to help us get connected to this field where we can heal, we can solve our own personal problems, not to mention bigger problems, but we can bring about this impact into our personal life, into our community, into the greater global community. And it starts with stillness. You talk a lot about that.
Yeah.
It's mentioned in the documentary. Can we talk about stillness for a little bit?
Yeah, I think it's such a core concept and experience. And it's interesting because, well, like I said, there were these, you know, a common worldview among all the people who had the best technologies and insights that we discovered and highlight in the movie. And the notion of stillness was in common to all of them. And they described it somewhat differently, but they all, whether it was a technology where you'll see in the film that we demonstrate really profound breakthrough energy technologies. And each of the inventors describes having their technology find a place of complete resonance. So the thing about stillness that I learned in my travels and meetings with these folks is that what they all said is that stillness is not still. It's actually a state of complete balance. It's a dynamic of balance so that it's constantly moving. It's just moving in resonant balance, and we experience this stillness. And it is that balance that affords access to these other realms. And so it was when you said, to, like, who is so interesting, that I once imagined in putting this together in the writing that I would be able to cut together one sentence that would start, you know, with a health inventor and move to an energy inventor and end up with a shaman working with plant medicines in the jungles of Colombia or something, because they all talked about achieving this state of stillness as a state of balance through which expansion could occur, and including expanded consciousness. And we described that in the movie too, because stillness is an understanding that it's not stagnant or still really helped me, because I, you know, making it that you're trying not to have a thought or trying not to be worried or trying any of these things instead of just breathing again and again and just coming back into a moment of balance, a moment of balance. Just again and again, just learning to return to that state until finally the gap times lessen and you experience this state of sort of seamless breath. And one of the things that I experienced in some of the shamanic journeys that I was able to participate in my travels in South and Central America with plant medicines and breath work and all kinds of things, was the notion that our world now is actually somebody's dream. This is the dream that has manifest on our planet. And our job is to dream bigger. Dream bigger, breathe deeper, take in what currently exists and transcend and transform it in our own lives and then in the lives of our communities and our world. And I don't know any better way to do that than to come from that state of inner quiet and balance, and to give ourselves the just the grace to know that it's not something that you achieve and stick with, but that, like, it's like a balancing a bike or something, you know, you, whoops, there's a tip and then there's a tip, but you come back to center. And that's what it's all about. And I see it as the portal to every one of the solutions for our own inner peace of mind, as well as accessing profound new technologies.
That's so profound what you just said. It's like, you know, it's working with tools, meditative tools, whether it's yoga, meditation, but it's also, and correct me if I'm wrong, as you're talking, it's also the importance of finding stillness with emotions. So we don't let events in our day get us emotionally riled, so we're into fear, or anger, or hopelessness. It's like we have to observe what's going on, but have that still point inside us and not lose that sense of peace and trust and, you know, the power that we can create, you know, not let the moment distract us, if that makes sense. We just have to master our emotions. Is such a key part of this.
I think that purpose has a lot to do with that. Like, we started out in this conversation talking about that it's something bigger, right, that moved through me, that moves through us to have us stick with anything to long enough to manifest it. And that bigger thing is, in my experience, purpose. That when we recognize that we came here, each of us, with some unique, purposeful to fulfill, and that there isn't a right one. There's just yours, and that when you find what that is, then the stillness and the self-forgiveness and the resilience and the just kind of that peace that comes from knowing at least I'm doing my part in this moment to be in alignment with whatever that purpose is. And I'll just mention in Thrive 2, it's one of the things we actually take the time to go through. There are lots of tools out there for finding your purpose, which can sound kind of like big and daunting, but it's actually, you know, what gives you energy? I remember when I was raising my kids in the days of magazines before online everything, and I used to say if you went into a room and there was a magazine on in every imaginable subject and no one was looking, what would you pick up? Because that's the thing you ought to pursue, whatever it is that you're naturally energized by, because we need everybody. And then within that, you get to see, well, do I really love to engage in sort of the immediate needs of helping my neighbor, helping someone who needs something right now? Or am I this systemic thinker who's like, gosh, this financial system's really off. I'm going to help create something systemically that's going to, you know, create new options. Or I'm really interested in the consciousness that allows all of this current dream to be what's manifest, and how can we help shift the consciousness that yields the systems that create the immediate needs, right? Wherever you are on that, we need it all. And so I think as people can identify themselves just in the quietest, most gentle, spacious way, what do you love? What gives you energy? And then do it. Just even if it's 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, like it will beget more. It's guaranteed. The universe will work to help you live your purpose if you begin. I'm sure of that. So I think that stillness, greater stillness comes from greater self-knowing, because we're just easier on ourselves as we go, oh, lost it there, pulling it back now, right? Oh, there was that thought, or there was that old trained divisive way to relate to someone who disagrees with me on the current reality and what's behind COVID and should I wear a mask or should I not or whatever. Like all the things that are set to divide us, to be bigger than that division is our task now. And that requires self-knowing. And I believe that stillness both helps us to find that self-knowing and is greatly facilitated by it once we do.
So I want to segue from that and the need for stillness and to find joy and to pay attention. I read an article this week that was talking about the power of awe and the power of awe for longevity. And they were just, in the article, I thought it was a great article, it was just saying that, and they were looking at how seniors, you know, focus on something that brings us awe. And that's like going out in nature and just paying attention and watching a plant grow or watching the interaction between birds. And, you know, it's being present in our environment brings a sense of awe. And that sense of awe is important for longevity. And as you were saying, it just opens us up to purpose as well. It's so simple, right? But it's getting back to nature. So speaking of the nature part of it, I want you to talk about this understanding, this unfoldment of what's happening with the interest in traditional healing, the wisdom of indigenous cultures, the power of these plant medicines, which I know you've been involved with. I've talked about it because I've been involved, and how it connects with this emerging, you know, scientific world view of the quantum reality and this energy field. Because we talked about that a little bit before our conversation, but that's so important. So can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah. I can, sure. I love, I feel like awe is really the most appropriate response to life when we're truly present and aware and take the time to notice. It's literally awesome, right? It's just so, so gorgeously orchestrated. And I think that with the shaman and the various modalities with ayahuasca and other plant-based medicines and the breath work, which really are both quite common. I mean, they have a lot in common with them. They're designed to basically change the frequency, the level of harmony that exists within us, and especially in how it relates to our memories, our past, our stories that live in our bodies. And so when I was actually first introduced to plant medicine because I was studying an alternative health technology down in Central America and met some shaman, and they were speaking exactly in the same language about this notion of resonance and this geometric field and the expanded consciousness and healing that can result from some of these practices. And I thought, I remember I called Foster, I said, it's so wild. They sound exactly like the energy and health inventors. So that intrigued me. And that was what got me to engage in my first ayahuasca experience, which I know it can be very different for different people. For me personally, it was immensely helpful. And I think mostly because it helped me rewrite my story. The story, I mean, I could even say, like, so my mom has Alzheimer's, and she lives where I used to stop. I would go from where I live in Northern California down to Costa Rica and then fly home, and I'd stop in L.A. to see my mom. And we had a not the greatest time or connection growing up. And when she got Alzheimer's, I thought, wow, I'm going to really need to, you know, make sure that we're just as resolved and complete as can be, because I'm going to really need to spend time helping her. And so I went on, I had a journey where I, intention is very important, and I asked to see myself before I was my mother's daughter, because I thought if I could get in touch with who that is, what did I come here for? Who was I before the story of being my mother's daughter? And if I live true to that, then who she was or wasn't or isn't could stop mattering. And I was gifted with this vision of myself preparing for this life from that perspective. And in it, I saw myself choose just the obstacles and opportunities that I would have, and my mother was right there, central to it, offering herself as the perfect person in that particular scenario. And I have to say, when I came off of that particular journey, it was the first time I can remember feeling truly grateful for my mom, just humbled in my gratitude rather than forgiving her, which is what I had spent so much of my time trying to do. And so when I stopped in LA to see my mom on my way back after that journey, I didn't say or do a single thing differently with her. I had been kind and behaving well with my mom for, you know, decades, but just internally my process. And in my presence, the quality of my presence and what had shifted, my mom was more affectionate and loving and open to me in that moment and ever since than I think we had ever experienced in our lives together. And it has sustained. And I attribute that to a quality of peace and stillness that I was able to achieve through that. And I don't think it has to be through plant medicine. I've seen people achieve it with breath work, but I think it's with an intention to overcome whatever the story is that is locked in our bodies that has us repeating some old pattern that actually it's time to outgrow. And when we do, we're, you know, just gifted with tremendous breakthroughs and peace.
Well, thank you for sharing that. That's just so powerful, Kimberly. It's, you know, truly embodies that truth that for things to change, first I must change. And often we don't know what that means. And you know, we try to use our intellect and we go to therapy and we do courses. But, you know, the beauty of experiences that come from this ancient tradition of shamanism and working with the plant, the realm of the mm-hmm. the consciousness and the medicine of plants, as an example, is not the only way. But isn't it, for me, in my experience, an accelerator of being able to really get beyond the mind, get beyond the intellect, and experience the truth like you did, and, you know, the soul's journey, that this was your creation. Your mother served you, but that wasn't an intellectual concept. When you're in this altered state, it is the truth, right?
Right.
Like, and there you rewire your brain, because you have a whole new perception of reality that's going on, and therefore everything changes. Your whole reality, your whole holographic universe just shifted.
I know.
To allow love.
And it's so humbling to see. It's like, oh my God, this was an inside job the whole time. And and I think that's what's true now, right? We have a big inside job to do that will manifest in the same way that that relationship healed for me. I think we can heal all kinds of relations. And like I said before, to me, with that peace, then we can, you know, agree to disagree and find instead a way to coexist on the planet together in a way that facilitates real harmony without having to all be the same. And I'm excited by the opportunity for that. I'm challenged by what we're facing to achieve it. And I believe we can do it and we are doing it. And I really think conversations that you're having with people and the network that you're open to and cultivating is a really big part of that. I think unbridled exploration is what it's all about. And so I appreciate the opportunity to do that with you here. And of course, I invite people to watch Thrive too and tell me what you think.
Well,
I'd love that.
And that's where I want us to go in the few minutes that we have. Let's talk about Thrive too. Let's talk about the many opportunities that people have to watch it, to share it, to continue on in the conversation. So let's talk a bit about that, okay? So I want to talk to everyone listening that this is a documentary that is imperative to watch. It's imperative to watch it. And we'll give you the link to get access to it. Thrive One is available for free, and I really recommend everyone watch that one first. It's imperative. I just cannot emphasize the importance of watching this documentary, because even if you don't understand everything that is being communicated in the moment, it's going to expand your consciousness just because you're exposed to it and receiving that information, and it will grow. So go ahead, Kimberly. Give us all of the steps and places to go.
Okay, I will. I just want to make one comment on the visuals. We had a fabulous visual arts director for this, and he worked with Foster's geometry and the Sim Harriman's physics and a mathematician to really illustrate our universe and cosmos as accurately as we can to date. So it's just a fabulous, awe-inspiring experience.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. So thriveon.com is our new platform, and on it you can purchase to rent or to buy Thrive 2, this is what it takes. And we have a hostess screening kit, so if you get the movie, you can gather together people and all watch it together in a group. You can do it on your own, however you want. We're about to launch a gifting capacity because it does seem to be a movie people would like to gift to others. So we're working on that technology, and we'll have it within a month. And then also there's something called the Freedom Portal with Foster. And what we're doing there is it's a subscription that you sign up for a year, and it's really a deeper dive into the ongoing conversation of how do we get from here to a thriving world. And so that's an exciting thing that October 17th, this is all new. We just put the movie out, and it'll be our first subscribers portal meeting on October 17th. And the first one of those is free, so people get a chance to really see what that's all about. The movie costs money, and the way that, because it costs a ton of money to make it, and we are supporting this movement, but also we have an affiliate program. So if you're someone who has a big network, you can sign up as an affiliate, and then every time somebody who uses your link rents or buys the movie or subscribes, you can earn 20% of that. So it's a way to help create a viable movement that's self-sustaining, that empowers the people who empower it. So that's what we're after. I have not met anyone who feels like it wasn't worth it. And like I said, some people are resurrecting. Had a few people do what they've called thrive-ins with drive-ins, where they'll get a big wall or a big screen and host a screening for people to see it. So it's at thriveon.com. And I hope that you will go there and comment and ideally join the subscribers, because that's where we're going to have one of the things that's included there is a network dialogue, where not only is it Q&A with us and with Foster in particular, but it's a chance for the network to really be engaged in important conversations about what are we really, you know, there are actions that need to be taken to get from the world where we are to a thriving world. And not all of those actions are going to be equally impactful or effective. And so exploring what those are, and especially how they relate to this non-aggression principle, which is what I described, the way to disagree, where we get to each do what we believe in without violating anybody else against their will. And that has, you know, it sounds simple, but it's a really big thing to implement and has a lot to do with medical health freedom and all the rest. So it's a very beautiful, wonderful, grounded, solutions-oriented hub. And I invite you all to explore it at thriveon.com. And Thrive 1 is for free. And there's also a trailer for Thrive 2 that you can see that gives a good feel for what it's all about.
Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, so inspirational, and I just thank you and Foster for that immense passion and commitment to bring this documentary, to birth it into the world, mm-hmm. so we can all be inspired, and you've created many avenues to keep that conversation going. So everyone, please visit thriveon.com, learn more, watch the first Thrive for free, watch the second one, share it with people, have little watch parties, and I have to go because I'm about to end this conversation. Kimberly Carter Gamble, thank you so much for everything you do, and to everyone listening, thank you, and fill your world with love, peace, and harmony. Bye for now.
Oh, thank you.